Very thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Very thankful to be engaged in the worship service. And very thankful for the words that Brother Luke has brought before our attention this morning. The Lord has richly blessed him. Brother Luke was speaking, and one of the things he brought out was about the Word of God. I've always been amazed when I was sitting out there, first coming to the church, and would hear brothers get up, maybe two in a service or three in a service, and you hear the sermons, it just seemed like they was one right after another. And I knew myself, they didn't get together and say, you preach on this or you preach on that, and we'll follow it up. But I knew it was of the Lord. One of the things that's what's on my mind this morning is the Word of God. And I want to look in the book of Ephesians, some might say it's a funny place to look at the Word of God to start with, but if I trust of the Lord, to bring out some things about the Word of God or the gospel. Book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10, Apostle Paul is writing, he says, finally, my brethren, he's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he's drawing it to a conclusion. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and be in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that they may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day that has done, and all to stand. Now, Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's writing to us. These epistles are written for us today also. This was not words that were written just for that church, and when that church ceased to exist or the people in that church died, these words were to fade away. You know, the Lord tells us that heaven and earth shall fade away, but my word shall not fade away. These words were written by men of old, inspired by God, moved by God. These were written for us today here in 2014, here in Nashville and down in Mississippi, wherever the Lord's people have met together in his name. These words are for us. They're for us to live by, as Brother Luke has brought out, not just here on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday night or Wednesday night, whenever you meet. These are for Monday, Tuesday, all 24/7, for us to live by. And he says to put on this armor of God. Then he comes through talking about some of that armor, telling us what that armor is. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints. Now, he goes through, he doesn't leave us to guess, what is the armor of God? And he goes through and he starts telling us what we should put on as children of God. To stand against the wiles of the day, to stand against our adversary, the devil. Peter tells us that our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, you know, going to and fro, seeking who he may devour. We have what we need to stand against the evils of the day. You know, you don't have to look far. You can pick up the newspaper, turn on the TV, the radio, and we see the evils of the day. You can walk down the streets and see the evils of the day a lot of times. It's you don't have to look far. But we are given something to stand against that. The Lord didn't leave us out here naked and bare. He gave us what we needed to stand. He gave us a refuge in his church to where we can come and we can have that fellowship. We can lean on each other. The brothers and sisters in Christ that Brother Luke has talked about, that's a great blessing. I can tell you from my experiences and Sister Crystal's experience, there was a time we didn't have the brothers and sisters in Christ to lean on. We still had the Lord. He had never forsaken us nor left us. But what a blessing it is when you come to the house of the Lord and you find people who believe the way you do, who trust in the Lord, who are looking to the Lord. I was talking with a couple of the sisters up at Tippecanoe this weekend, and Some of you know that area. I was talking to one of the brothers this morning. He knows that area very well. And a couple of the sisters there, they were talking about there's not a lot of the churches in that area. You know, they're very thankful for those meetings that they can come together and to fellowship and hear the gospel preached. And she was talking about one, you know, too many years ago, they kind of felt like sometimes they were just all alone. But when they come to those meetings, when we come here to Nashville, to this church, to know they are people who are putting on this armor of God. They worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But he says, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The very first thing that Paul tells us of this armor is to gird about our loins with truth. And he wrote to Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, he wasn't telling Timothy that you go through the Bible, and as you may have heard the saying, you know, eat the chicken and throw out the bones. Brothers and sisters, this is filet mignon. There's no bones here. This is everything we know, everything here. Because he tells us in John 17:17, says, thy word is truth. You want to know what truth is? It's right here in the Word of God. Every word from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. We need to gird about our loins with that. You think about what he told Timothy. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. If we were to walk out in public without our pants on, would we not be ashamed? Would that not something that would embarrass us? I can speak from experience of times that I have been literally embarrassed because I didn't know what the Word of God said. I had a fear of God in my heart. I had a reverence for Him. But I can remember sitting as a man at tables at work and hearing men that had a love of the Lord in their heart, but they could quote the verses now. As we Brother Luke brought out about Brother Ronald, he has hidden these words in his heart. You know, I love to hear brothers, and Brother Ronald is one of them. The first time I heard him, I saw him lay that Bible down and he starts quoting these verses. And I was amazed at first, how can a man do this? And then I know because of the Lord. Because he has hidden this word. The Lord's given him a gift to be able to do this, but he's applied that, been able to do that. And I can even feel myself being ashamed because I haven't applied myself into the Word of God, haven't studied it like I should have. But yet, that doesn't mean we should just lay it aside and say, well, I can't be like Brother Ronald, I can't be like Brother Luke or anything. We should be constantly studying, learning, and adding these things. Isaiah tells us, that we should, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Brother Ronald didn't pick it up and read it one day and just close it, never read it again and have it all. He constantly studies. I know Brother Luke, and I'm not here to raise them up. I'm just saying that we have those examples. We have those before us. But we are to put on the Word of God. It's part of the armor. The very first thing we need is the Word of God. Sweetest places to me to go and talk about the Word of God is a verse over in Psalms. In Psalms chapter 12, in verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. The psalmist writes there, he says that the words of the Lord are pure words. Pure words, meaning there's no error in them whatsoever. None. Every jot, every tittle, every comma, every semicolon, everything is just the way the Lord intended for His people to have it. It is pure. I've worked with metals a lot through my life, and like I said, this verse means more to me. I guess I hope and trust it means a lot to you too. But I can see in my mind's eye, I can see what He's talking about, the purifying of the word or purifying of metals. He says that the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. When you purify metals, and he talks about silver, and just kind of give you an idea, when you take the ore out of the ground, if you will, and you put it in a pot, and you may add a few other things in there that very first time, but you heat that up, you put that fire under it. And you heat up that ore, you heat up that metal, and that silver metal that's in that dirt, in that ground, it'll start melting out. And you start whenever it gets to a temperature, and that metal liquefies, all that old crud, that ore, that stuff that comes to the top is to be, that dross will be scraped off, just gotten out of the way and thrown over into to a pot to be just thrown away, cast away, never to be, you don't have anything to need with that. It says that it was purified 7 times. As I've worked with metals, like I said, I've melted metals down to purify. And I've seen that dross come to the top and scrape it off and throw it away and pour that metal up into a little bar or whatever the shape I was needing and get to looking later and you start seeing little specks of impurities in it. And take that metal again and melt it down and see those impurities come to the top once again and going, well, I just didn't do it good enough the first time, and skim that dross off and throw it away again. You know, brothers and sisters, as many times as I can melt that metal, I never could get it pure. Because one, I'm fallible. It says the words of God are pure words. The source of those words was pure. It's still pure. It wasn't that he was once pure and is not. He give us the pure words. It said that the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The things that Christ spoke were those same pure words. These were his Father's words. These are the words that we have been given here in the gospel, what we should gird about our loins with. You know, you buy gold today. Some of you may invest in gold or whatever. Maybe even you buy a ring. You know, it'll have on there, some of them will have 99.9% pure. We as men and women, we cannot get it exactly pure. We will always be able to find a little bit of leaven there. But what we've been given is without leaven, is with 100% pure. That's what we need to be girding about our loins. That's why Paul said, told to the Galatian letter there that they had been perverted because somebody had brought in and tried to add just a little bit of that leaven. But he says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. It says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalmist is saying the Lord is the one that's going to keep them. The Lord is the one that's going to preserve them. It's not up to man to say, well, we've got to keep this word. Yes, we need to hide it in our heart. We need to study it and learn more about it. But the Lord is the one that has kept these words. These are his words. These are what he has given. He told Peter to go feed his sheep. What was he feeding them? The word of God. He was preaching to them. He's called pastors and teachers. What is the man that stands before you? What are we to be preaching? The word of God. He told Timothy, he said, preach the word. He didn't say preach the word in some philosopher. He said, preach the word. Amen. The Lord is the one that keeps these. You think about the word of God. You know, the King James translation at 1611, but from the time that it was written until now, different books are different ages. You have the book that Moses, you have the books that Moses wrote, you have the book that Samuel, you have those that David or Solomon or all of those, you have those that John and Peter, the Apostle Paul, they've been kept exactly the way the Lord intended for us to have them. Amen. I worked in a factory one time and was taking a class just to try to, some kind of class, I don't even remember what it was for, but one of the things that the instructor had as a test to show us how the mind works or doesn't work properly sometimes, we had a group of about 12 or 14 people there and just around the table. And he'd lean over to the very first person to his right and whisper something into his ear and say, now you take that and whisper it to the next person and you go around the table with that. Don't say it out loud where anybody can hear it. And the last person to his left was to stand up and say what was told him by the person beside him. We never had the same saying the instructor started with. We would always change it just a little bit. It may be very close, but our old human nature, our old minds, we would change it. We might add a little something. But you know what Peter tells us over in the book of Peter? Let me grab that right quick. In the book of Peter in chapter chapter 2, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as you a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, until the day star rises in your heart. Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, it's one thing to teach our children the Bible, and we teach it in speaking and everything, but we need to be referencing back to the Word of God. As those noble Bereans, they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched daily. It didn't say that they remembered it. It's a blessing to remember it, but we need to continue to search and read and study the Word of God. Because Peter said that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ. He's seen the things up there. He knew what had happened. And he could have told those things to those under him, his family members or to grandchildren or whoever it may have been, friends and loved ones. But the Lord, knowing our nature, that after one or two generations, as much as we may try, we can get things wrong. That's why he said he preserves the word. So it's just like we need. It's exactly what we need to feed upon. Going back to the verse there in Ephesians. He says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In verse 15 it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Once again, he's talking this armor. Our shoes, if you will, how we walk. How do we know how to walk in this life in the paths of righteousness? How do we know what are the paths of righteousness? We have it in the Word of God to teach us that. Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says that the Word of God is the lamp unto our feet. Back home, a lot of times we go out at night. You may go up somewhere. I don't know who lives in the city here or is out in the country, but we might have one or two little street lights or maybe a light on the house that throws a light out around the house. But you get just a few feet out in the yard or into the edge of the woods, there's no light other than what may be of the moon. But you go out on a moonless night and it's dark. You can't see where you're going. Without a light, without a flashlight, without a lantern or out a lamp, you can walk, you could step into a hole, you can trip on a tree trunk or a branch, you may step on a snake or whatever it may be. We need light naturally just to walk at night when there's darkness around us. We need this light to walk in this world. We need these words to know what is pleasing to the Lord, know how we should walk. To know what those foundations are is what Brother Luke brought us to see the house. We've been blessed to have that heart of stone changed to a heart of flesh. There's something in it desires to come to the house of the Lord. But how do we grow in grace and knowledge? Through the Word of God, learning and reading and studying and rightly dividing. His word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I will start trying to bring this to a close just a little bit, but I will bring on one more thing there about that armor of God. And he comes on down in verse 16. He says, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We'll be in one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. I mentioned when I was a younger man, sitting at the lunch table, the break table, having brothers of other orders, and I call them brothers because they had a fear of God in their heart. They may not have had the truth as we see it through the scriptures, but they had a fear of God, and they would discuss. They would be brothers that we'd be talking about their Sunday school or maybe a Wednesday night service. I can remember as a teenager in high school, the things that I learned as a young boy, I didn't come up in the church. I always say I come up around it. I, my My mother's family was Primitive Baptist, and I went as a very young boy up to my very early teens, and then I walked. I don't need that, I thought, until the Lord convicted me to know this is where I needed to be. But I use that as just to say I knew a few of the principles. I knew in my mind, didn't know a lot about them, but I knew about salvation by grace, that if it was grace, that it couldn't be anything that we did. And I knew that they would, as they would say, once saved, always saved. I don't know about the eternal security. Couldn't tell you a whole lot more about it, but I knew those things. I had that in my mind. There's a verse, back up just a couple, or about four chapters, in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I can remember as a very young boy, maybe not even a teenager, the Lord showing me that verse. I've got an old Bible at home. That's the only verse that's highlighted in that Bible. I couldn't tell you a whole lot more, but I could draw strength and comfort from that one verse. From the Word of God. And I can remember as a teenager in school and as a young man sitting at that table being ashamed, not knowing enough about the Bible. I still don't know enough. I'll never know enough. These scriptures are unsearchable. We can read and study all of our natural life. We'll still never learn everything here. But brothers and sisters, I can tell you, I can remember them sitting there saying, you've got to be baptized. You've got to believe. You've got to do this. And in my mind, I could go back. I still can't tell you just exactly everything brought in this verse, but we can read and study and discuss it for a long time. But it says, for by grace are ye saved. That means not of ourselves, because he goes on and tells us, not, it is a gift of God. I could take that. They might figure out a way to try to get around me, but as defending the Word of God, even just knowing that one verse, taking the sword of the Spirit. He says, then, therefore, take ye the sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we take the Word of God and we use it, and we're studying, as we said, as Isaiah said, when we're adding to it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, of the wickedness, the evil of the day. One other point I want to bring out, I said all of this, there's three things of this armor of God. There's not just three things of the armor, but there's three different parts of this armor that are specific to the Word of God. How important is the Word of God? If there's three things of that armor, I think it's very important. But even of all those other things, how do we know about them? Through the Word of God. And I draw you a picture that a dear brother showed me one time. It says to take on the armor of God. Paul's describing someone going to battle. He tells them everything they need to have to go to battle. Well, let's say we didn't have those three parts. We didn't have the gospel. Maybe we knew about the righteousness and the salvation and all those things. Well, how well do you think you'd be able to stand in battle if you didn't have your pants or your shoes or a sword? Who's the first one that the enemy's going to come after? If I'm standing up in a battle and I see someone standing on the other side without any pants or shoes or sword, that's the first one I'm going to go after. Because I know he's not as prepared as all those beside him that are. Brothers and sisters, we need to take all this. We need to take this armor, but especially the Word of God. I thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord richly bless you.